We've got very special friends that we've known for many years now, several years now. Pastors Larry and Nadine Hernandez live in Paulsboro, and the church is, your service is actually located in Silverdale. When you go up Ridgetop Road and turn down to go to Costco, well, this is better than Costco. You turn the other way. And you're at New Anchor of Hope Church, or Anchor of Hope Church is where the services are, and it's Saturday night at 6:30. And they're also going to have a special set of speakers coming in August. Pastor Larry will tell you about that. They came to Washington State 19 years ago now. Wow. Time goes quick when you're having fun, even when you're not. But they've been in full-time ministry since then. They've co-pastored Spirit Song Church in Silverdale for 16 years. Larry was a professional musician. Wasn't it a great joy to have him playing this morning? Love you being here, guys. He was a recording artist for most of his life, along with them owning together a small business for over 25 years. Nadine actually was at one time the president of the Aglows Fellowship in Southern California. Buena Park. And so they have been involved in ministry for a long time. They hail out of Costa Mesa, right? That's where you got your Mission Viejo and Calvary Chapel. And many of you have heard of those churches, and they've been called to build up and unite and unlock the giftings and talents of the church and to expand the kingdom of God for His glory. Monica Resnick, is that how I pronounce your last name? What is it? Resnick. People know here, I do great on names. Anyway, we welcome you too, Monica. Good to have you here. And she's been with them for a long time. So they're going to come and minister in song as well as the message for this morning. And we just want to give them a warm Grace Christian Center welcome to our precious friends. Welcome.
Well, good morning. Don't you feel the presence of God today? You know, when we come to churches to share, I love to worship with God's people. I love it. And I feel a brokenness sometimes when I come, because we're in the presence of a mighty God. I thought what we would do this morning is to begin with a song to celebrate heaven on earth. Hey, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to be doing cartwheels, folks. We're going to be rejoicing and blessing God. And I thought one day when I was in Africa, I thought this would be a great song to bring to you folks today. And we were there for about 21 days. And I thought, man, those people really worship God there. It was like heaven in that place and just made me weep. It was so awesome. They were dancing. They were just having a great old time, completely uninhibited. And, you know, I'll tell you today, I just want us to celebrate in this song. Now, I'm going to just teach you one part of the song. I just want you to sing, Alleluia, Alleluia, Ma, Ma, Ma. This is kind of a Caribbean African tune, okay? So, can you do that with me? Alleluia, Alleluia, Ma, Ma, Ma. So, when we come to that part, we'll just have you join in with us, okay? And for now, just worship the Lord. If you want to stand up and worship God and praise Him while we're singing this song, please feel free to do so. Amen? All right, here we go. If I get a little volume here. You can stand up if you like or clap your hands.
Hey, yo, I will praise Jehovah. Hey, yo, I will praise the Lord. Hey, yo, I will praise Jehovah.
I'm gonna praise.
Hey, yo, I will praise the Lord.
gonna praise Him in the sanctuary. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. With cymbals, trumpets, tambourines, and
we're gonna dance.
Let everything with breath go praise the Lord.
Yeah,
it's a kingdom celebration.
Let the
praises ring. We will sing with all creation the praises of the King.
Here we go now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ma, ma, ma. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Ma, ma, ma. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Ma, ma, ma. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Ma, ma, ma.
Isn't that a great song? You can be seated if you like. We'd like to bring you a song just before the message, and I love the presence of God. Don't you love the presence of God? Brother, I appreciated your message last week. We need to press into the presence of God, and that's just to be with Jesus. Whenever two or more are gathered together in His name, He is here today. And we can expect mighty things to happen today as we spend time with our Lord. I love His presence. And you love His presence as well. It's like heaven. Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty in this earth. 'Cause nothing in this world will ever satisfy, Lord. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence, Lord, is heaven to me. Treasures of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you are merciful.
So merciful.
Redeemer of my past and present wrongs. Oh, a holder of my future days to come. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence,
Lord,
is heaven to me. Your presence to me. Yeah. We're singing, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Your presence is heaven to me. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus.
Jesus.
Would you sing it with me?
Your presence is heaven to me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Your presence is heaven.
Would you stand with us?
Oh,
please stand.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Sing it and worship with us.
Your presence is heaven with me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Wonderful name.
Your presence is heaven to me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Your presence is heaven to me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Bless him. Bless him and love on him. He wants to place his arms around you, cover you with his love. Oh, oh, oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your presence is heaven to me. Oh, Jesus.
Master.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Your presence.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fall. Breathe upon us. Breathe upon us. We're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord. We thank you. Sing over your people today, Lord. Sing over your people and rejoice over them. Oh, healing flows in the house today. Power flows in the house of God today. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. A wonderful, wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. You are glorious. You are glorious. You are glorious. Almighty One, in Ancient of Days, you are glorious. You are glorious. You are glorious. Almighty One. Wonderful Lord. Worship. Worship Him. Worship Him. O Lord, my God.
When I in awesome wonder consider all the world Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power through worlds, the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just linger with Him a little bit. Can we do that, Pastor? Just linger with Him. Just linger with Him. Just linger. You'll just grant your people new manna today, fresh manna. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You want to give him a nice hand? Come on now. You may be seated.
It's a joy to be with you. I want to thank my wife and our assistant Monica for coming too. Coming into the presence of God is so good because I just love to just worship the Lord. And we love to worship the Lord, don't we?
Yes.
You know, I'll tell you, this whole community is going to be nothing but worshipers when it's all said and done.
Yes.
I don't care what's going on in this state. I don't care what's going on in the U.S. God's going to have the last word. The church has been alive for 2,000 years and you can't kill it.
Yes.
Or burn flags. Or put flags away. Or even cause persecution, because the church isn't a good place. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ, Matthew 16:18. I want to share with you real quickly, just before we get started here, that we have my wife and I came from California. We were from Calvary Chapel, as Pastor Kevin had mentioned, and we've been up here for 19 years, but we planted the church Spirit Song 16 years ago with three people, and it's kind of grown from there a little bit, and it goes off and on, and you know that's the way it is, and we just love it. But praise God, we're still here. We survived. This is supposedly the greatest and the hardest. Is this working now?
Yeah.
Here we go. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we want to take authority right now over everything that would interfere with this service. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord God, right now. You are the King. You are in dominion. And we're going to bind every bit of interference, because that's what we have to do sometimes. And we start to go deeper into the things of God. So in the name of Jesus, we bind right now the devil. We bind his cohorts, and we thank you, God, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And you've given us the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us.
Yes.
Or in this service now, we plead the blood of Jesus over y'all and myself. In the name of Jesus, we got a free, clear way to heaven now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you, sometimes we got to, I'll stop into some of my sermons too, because I'm getting agitated or I forget what I'm supposed to say. So I just say, forget about it, devil. You've lost. We were here for 19 years, but through this process, Pastors John and Judy Engstrom from Christ of Rock Fellowship are our dear friends, and they're on our corporate board for Spirit Song Church. And I thank God that we met, Pastor Kevin and Pastor Sherry, and we're a part of they're a part of our family, we're a part of their family, and you're a part of our family too, by the way. And we're excited. And John happened to bring these people in a couple of years ago. It is Tim and Sandy Ravan, and they are so good. And Pastor asked me to give a plug. So on August 1st, Saturday night, August 1st, these folks are coming to Spirit Song Church at 6:30. And they are so good. If you'd like to look them on the line, I'm going to give this information to Pastor. And if you'd like to look for them, these folks are going out and they're building churches in Europe. And right next to Iraq. Right. And they're coming to Spirit Song. And they move in the power of God. They are the real deal. And I want to say this because we've been careful in bringing people in. There's a lot of stuff out there. These folks, they have been confirmed. They are coming to Spirit Song. So we would like to invite you, our Spirit Song family, invite your family to come and join us on August 1st at 6:30 p.m. And it's going to be a great night. If you need healing, these folks are the people. Well, I'll tell you, it's been an amazing journey how we got here. But God called me when I was when I was just a little boy in Catholic church. And in 1991, he reiterated that call. And then in 69, he called us to come to Washington. Excuse me, not 69, 96. He caused us to come to Washington. And I'll tell you, I'm too excited today. I can't talk anymore. Let's give him the word of God. You know what? Just look up. You can ask me later about our bio. I don't care about that. I want to teach the Word of God this morning. You want to hear the Word of God? Forget me. Hallelujah. God is so powerful. We're in the book of Jonah this morning. The book of Jonah. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. I'll be reading out of the New King James. I'm going to try to get this quickly here. And I am going to entitle this particular message, The Man of Flight. The Man of Flight. And then I have another little group. You got that for me, baby? Thank you. We'll put this right here. I'll tell you, my wife, she takes care of Papa. We've been together for 50 years. I'll tell you, praise God. And we really need each other. And we take care of each other. It's good. You know, my wife, I call her my rib. My good thing. But the book of Jonah now. The Man of Flight. Another title might be Commitment versus Comfort or Convenience. Or my last title, A Whale of a Tale. It makes sense, doesn't it? So we're going to read the first 1 through 17 verses. And this is, of course, Jonah, the infamous Jonah, who was disobedient to God's call. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of the Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. It must have been pretty bad. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. From where? The presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Boy, this fellow was a runner. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. There was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners, and we're not talking about Washington, were afraid. And every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lower parts of the ship, had laid down and was fast asleep. Can you believe it? Verse 6. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." Oh my gosh, they were a little bit frightened. And they said to one another, "Come, can't figure this out. Let's cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on, guess who? Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us." Now they're really beginning to question this dude. "For whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you?" You know, so many questions in so little time. So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may calm for us, or may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea, such a deal. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know this great tempest is because of moi, me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. And therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." You notice they were praying for false gods in the beginning, and then they came to realize the real God. Wow. So they picked up Jonah, "Just take me," and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Father, would you bless your word this morning? Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share the word with your people. And we honor you. We thank you that you magnify your word over your name. So, Lord, let it come forth in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Isaiah, we read, chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible declares to us that if we are willing and obedient to the Lord, that we'll eat the good of the land. And I'll tell you, Jonah was not going to eat the good of the land as long as he was on that boat. The Bible declares obedience is better than sacrifice. So this morning, we're going to talk about this man who would not obey the word of the Lord, but also we're going to discover some amazing insights from God's word. And I'm hoping that not only you'll learn a little bit about Jonah, but also that you'll be encouraged and strengthened through the word, and that you will be able to use the word to apply it to your own lives. Amen. Now, let me give you a little background about Jonah. Jonah was an actual person in history, verified by 2 Kings 14:25, where we find his prophecy that Jeroboam II would expand his kingdom. And this message made Jonah very popular, by the way. But when God called Jonah here, after prophesying, to preach to the city of Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, the prophet rebelled. Let me give you a little bit of graphic information about the Assyrians. History tells us that the Assyrians were extremely cruel and heartless people who thought nothing of burying their enemies alive, chopping off their heads, and skinning them alive. They were responsible for the terrible atrocities when it came to punishing their enemies. Does that sound like anybody familiar today? But I tell you, I can't even tell you some of the other things they did because it's too disgusting. But Jonah did not feel very kind toward these people. Now you see why. He was not a happy camper. God, say what? You want me to what? No way. His attitude towards them literally affected to obey God's will. It literally affected his ability to do what God had shared with him. In the four chapters of this book, Jonah traces his experiences and the lessons that he learned. However, this morning we're going to focus on chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Now, let's look at Jonah just for a second. This was really cool for me. Jonah's name really means dove. Did you know that? Dove. Dove. It is evident that he was in flight, avoiding God's will. I'm out of here. As fast as we can, you know, get out of here. How many of you know you can't get away from God? He'll bring you back and he has ways of persuading you. In the same verse, the Lord also commands, actually verse 2, the Lord commands Jonah to arise. And also to cry out. In other words, Jonah, would you please sound the alarm? I'm asking you to. But it's evident that the comfort and convenience was more important to the prophet than to his commitment to the Lord's will. I want you to catch that. Comfort and convenience were more important to Jonah than to the will of God. Someone once said, instead of cry, Jonah wanted to fly. And note in verse 3, and I find this very interesting. Sometimes the devil will help you run away from the will of God. You know, in this case, who do you think provided the money for Jonah to get on that ship to go to Tarshish? Who do you think did that? I believe it was the devil. Now, that's just speculation, so you can come up with your own idea. That Jonah knew he was running. He knew he was running. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever run from God? You know? It's obvious that Jonah was in disobedience to the word of the Lord. And I want to unpack a little bit on Jonah's disobedience, what that looked like. Number one, he was rebellious. Number two, he was arrogant. He was prideful. And he was stubborn. He was very stubborn. Disobedience to God's will is what? Sin. And sin always binds, grinds, and blinds. In truth, Jonah could not run or hide from the Lord. When God calls us to do His bidding, it's good to remember that obedience is better than sacrifice. Psalm 139, verse 7 through 10, if you'd like to check that out. And I want to say this about Jonah to give him a little bit of a break here. He did repent. Finally. I remember when we were very young and I was very young and my wife and I were married and God called me two times to do something for Him and twice I said no. Have you ever been called to do something for the Lord and you said, no way? You know why you didn't want to do it? Because you didn't know what you were doing. You know why you didn't do it? Because you were afraid of what was going to happen. You're afraid on the responsibility. That's why we have churches and we have teachers and mentors like Pastor Kevin and Sherry to train and to disciple. I got a wonderful acronym for you. The word build. Build. B for building. U for unity. I for N. L for lasting. D, disciples. Isn't that good? Boy, I wish I would have known that when I was 21. That's a great thing. Build. God is saying build. And that's why I just didn't get it. So I turned down two jobs doing youth directing. And the first one was in Kansas. And the second one, we were called to Merced, California, to become youth directors for Christian Life Center in Merced. And oh, but I'll tell you, the second time, God got a hold of me and he said, you're going. The first one was on me, but this one's on you. Okay? It was so good. You know what I learned? I learned to trust in God. You know what else we learned? Not to run from God anymore when he calls you to do something. That's why the church has got to stand up today and stand up for what is right. Yes. It's going to cost us, church, but the righteous shall be as bold as lions. Proverbs 28:1. The righteous shall be as bold as... We're going to have to be as bold as lions.
Amen. That's right.
And you know what? I got a great pastor a long time ago. He said to me, he said, I said, I don't know what to pray for. I'm just a young buck. What do I do? He said, pray for boldness.
Amen.
And now I'm going, oh man, this little introvert Hispanic guy is over here and now he's coming out standing in front of you. You know what? When you, I'll tell you what boldness is too. It's when you go to a restaurant and it says, go and prophesy to that person at the table. You have to say, oh God, give me the boldness. What am I going to say? Don't worry about it. Just get up and go. Get out of the boat. And I say, Lord, if you're there, bid me to come. So I come. And when I come, I go, well, excuse me, but I don't know what I'm going to tell you. We're at a restaurant. I don't know what to say to you, but you're supposed to take that job. These two people are sitting down in a restaurant having a meal, and I could tell, and God is pointing them, and I start prophesying over them. You know what? The righteous shall be as bold as lions.
Hallelujah.
We're going to need that kind of boldness in the last times. Amen? Hallelujah. Also, I learned to seek the Lord and to do His will no matter what. It's going to cost me. It's going to cost us. Now, let me give you two important truths that you can apply to your life from our text. Number one, the whale provided protection for Jonah. The whale provided protection for Jonah. The whale protected Jonah from the sea, from the elements around him. In Jonah's case, comfort and convenience overshadowed commitment. However, despite the fact that it was not comfortable or convenient, there was still protection in the whale. Are you in a whale today? Physical? Financial? Fighting something? Family problems? God has you in a whale, but you're being protected today. That's the word of the Lord to you. It was a place of protection also as not only protection, but a place of preparation for Jonah for greater work. God is preparing you for greater work in the kingdom of God. Jonah was being prepared for greater ministry and commitment to the will of God and the plan of God concerning God's love and mercy for the Assyrians. Does God love everybody?
Yes.
Does God want to reach the terrorists?
Yes.
Does God want to reach all the people that are in sin right now? Yes! And if God sends you, how many of you have ever said, oh God, send me? Well, guess what? You're going. One way or the other, you're going. And then you'll go back and you'll look back and you'll say, I can't believe what God did. Oy vey, it's awesome. You know, oh, I tell you, it's so awesome. God is calling us to reach out to people. You know what? We're not here to judge the people. We're here to get them the gospel. Greater is He who is in you than he that is in... That's right. 1 John 4:4. And we've got to remember that. We've got to remember that, church. Whatever God wants you to do, do it. We need to hear God's word, and they need to hear God's word. And if we're going to take John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not what?
Perish.
But have?
Everybody.
Amen. It's our job. We are God's army. We're moving out. That's why we've got to get this community here in Port Ludlow. That's why we're going to get the community there in Kitsap County. We're going to get it. We're going to see souls coming into the kingdom of God. You're going to see more and more. And church, I'm telling you, get ready for whatever God wants you to do. Prophesy, teach, comfort, use your gifts of hospitality. Do whatever God's telling you to do. Just do it. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Whoo, boy. You know, when we were in San Diego, I was thinking about this whale. I was thinking about this. And we went and we saw this. At San Diego was marine land. And we saw this big old grouper. You know, in a tank, you know, glass cover and big old, that thing was so big, it could swallow a man easy. Have you ever seen a grouper, a big one? I wouldn't want to have that on my line, brother. And I love to fish. It was huge and its mouth was big enough and I thought, that's big enough to swallow me. or anybody else. Well, you know, I want you to want to share something with you. It has been said that the stomach acids of a fish will literally bleach out human skin. Jonah was spewed out of the whale, totally bleached out. Woo! He probably looked like a ghost. But not only did he look like a ghost, he must have smelled like a fish. Oh, I wouldn't have wanted to be in that fish. Oh! He was a scary dude. When he came out, no wonder the Assyrians got their attention. What happened to you, man? Wow, we've never seen a man so divine. Think about it. Scary looking dude. The application for us here is that following God's will releases His protection over our lives. Just check out Psalm 32, 7 and 8. Now, let's look at Psalm 32, verse 7 altogether. Psalm 32, verse 7. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 32, verse 7 and 8. But Psalm 32, 7 declares, "You are my hiding place. You shall," what? "Preserve me from," what? "Trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." Oh, isn't that awesome? What a different perspective from the world. Trouble comes and they go into just downhill. When we have trouble, many are the adversities of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. And I tell you, we're standing here today because God has delivered us in ministry. Praise God for His grace. Amen. Okay, now the whale provided protection for Jonah. The second truth is this. God used the whale to give direction. God used the whale to give direction. The whale gave Jonah good direction. Plus, listen to this, it kept him on course. If you're in a whale of a tail trouble today, God's keeping you, He's leading you in a direction and keeping you on course. If God places you in an uncomfortable or in a great inconvenient circumstance or adversity, you might be, again, in a whale. And He's directing your life. Now, always remember that God is directing you. I want you to get that. God is always directing us. Sometimes we don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. We don't know what's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Because God is directing our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He's always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Get that in your heart. Get it in your mind. Get it in your spirit. It's true. It's true. Because a lot of people give up. They get discouraged. That's why we come to church, to get encouraged. That's why we come to hear the word of the Lord. God, that word, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," in Hebrews 13:5, it actually is emphatically the word, "I will never," never, five times. Five times. Are you convinced that God will never leave you?
Yes.
Well, I tell you, you'll find out. Just remember. Now, trusting the Lord is what this is all about. It's the best way for life, and it is the only way. Of course, we have Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will, I love what the Wycliffe commentary says, and He will enable you to go forward if you meet the three conditions. To trust Him, to don't lean on your understanding, and to acknowledge Him. Have close relationship with Jesus. That's what we're all trying to do. Get close to Jesus. Closer. Now, and also check out Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord. Commit your works to the Lord. Whatever's going on. So that you can stay in the right direction with the Lord. And it means to roll. The word commit there is to roll. Roll down. To roll away. To remove. Now, let's look at Psalm 32 verse 8. And I love this one. This is going to be so good. He says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you shall go. And I will guide you with my eye." God desires to really take care of your life and where you're going. When you are in His will, when He calls you to do something, He will always take care of you. That's why we gave you Hebrews 13:5. Now listen, I want to give you a breakdown of this verse quickly here. This word, "I will instruct you," but the word is teach. Teach. teach in the Hebrew is the word yara. Yara. It means, listen, to point, to shoot, to direct, to throw, to cast in a straight manner. The primary word of yara is to shoot straight or to direct the flow of something. Are you getting this? Ooh, we're going somewhere. There's in fact, this word, let me break it down. In other words, God is directing the flow of your life for greater intimacy with Him.
That's right.
And greater ministry for Him, that He might be glorified. That's the bottom line, isn't it?
Yes.
We want to glorify the Lord. God will always lead you into truth. So here's what I'm saying to you. If you're in a situation where you're wondering what God is doing and you're having problems, we got to trust the Lord. He will instruct us and teach us in the way that we shall go. He will guide us with His eye. I'm saying to you, if you're in the boat and you have oars in your boat for life, throw the oars out. Is that a good picture? Just let it go, because He's directing the flow of where you're going. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Just throw, you know what, right now, I want you to just, whatever problem you're having, you're in the boat, you might be trying to go upstream. Striving. No, don't do that. Can you, right now, just for a minute, close your eyes. I want you to look at your problem, and I want you to say, Jesus, I'm in the boat right now, and I'm going to throw the oars out and trust You with all of my heart. And I'm not leaning on my own understanding and all my ways. I'm going to acknowledge You. And You will direct my path or deliver me and enable me to go forward in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. So in closing, let me give you four principles here. First of all, your commitment level to the Lord must be stronger than your comfort or convenience level. Oh, well, you know, what are you going to do with your life? Well, you know, I'm going to take it easy and go fishing and, you know, and we're going to do this. And we're really? What if God has called you to do something else? My wife and I were called. I've been called 3 times. And God said, you're going. I finally understood. We're going. Some of us need to cast our stuff into the wind of the Holy Spirit and let God lead us and guide us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, not everybody's going to be called to be a preacher. God help you. Not everyone's going to be called to be an evangelist, but we all have a job to do, whatever it may be, and it's important to God, big or small. Whatever it is, serve. That's what I'm saying. What does God want you to do? How can you build this church up? You serve in this church. You say, Pastor, what can I do to help you? How can I hold your arms up? How can I encourage you? Because your pastors have a heart for, they have a vision for the community and for the nation. Here. God brought them here. And they need your help. They can't do it by themselves. Are you praying for your pastors? Are you praying for them? I was praying the other night and I said, God, bring out, I need some more intercessors. You know, Tim and Sandy, they are praying. These folks that are coming on August 1st, they're praying for 2,500 intercessors. For them, for their ministry, so they can reach the world. It's awesome, you know. And then I said, where are my intercessors? And Jesus said, well, I'm one of them. And I've always been one, Larry. You needed me. But you know what? It's nice when you tell your pastors, we're praying for you. We're supporting you. Amen. Your commitment level to the Lord must be stronger than your comfort level. And I want to encourage you, live to do God's will. And Jesus said, Lord, not my will, but thine will be done. Amen. So if this is an example for us, we need to follow the Lord.
Amen.
And you're not going to like sometimes where you go. And of course, Galatians 2:20 tells us that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And if you continue with the scripture, you'll find out. The second thing is you will experience the highest level of comfort in your life and for your life when you follow the Lord. Sometimes you will face adversity, but still there's a joy in adversity. I'll tell you, you might be weeping one day. The next day, you're going to be in laughter and victory with God, because that's the way He works. Amen? Don't refuse God's plan for your life. Flow Flow with His will. Flow with His will. Let go. Remember, throw the oars out of the boat. And of course, you know that God always has a great plan for us. All you need to do is to look at Jeremiah 29:11. He has a future for you. He has plans for you. They're good plans. Plans of hope. Amen?
Amen.
The third thing is always yield to the Lord when He calls you to do His bidding. What does He want you to do? Does He want you to take care of, oh, in the church, child care? Well, I'm not doing that again. I did that for 19 years. Really? If God's calling you to do it, you're going to continue to do it another 19 years. Don't you get, you know, people will say, I'm not going to do that, man. I'm not doing that anymore. See, I can get away with this because it's not my church. This is what I'm feeling, though. But you know what I'm saying? What does God want you to do? Everybody has a part. Everybody is valued. And sometimes it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. But I tell you, the joy and the blessing of the Lord is so awesome. The blessing of the Lord is awesome. The third thing is this, always yield to the Lord. Always yield to the Lord when He wants you to do something. Check it out. You know what I tell people? You want to find out what God wants you to do? Check out three times. Listen to the Lord. That's what I do. His circumstances, the Word of God, and the witness in your heart. See? I check it out. I get counsel. There's safety in a multitude of counselors when I'm getting ready to do something for the Lord. Sometimes people go, I'm really feeling this. I go, well, let's just continue to pray until God solidifies what you're supposed to be doing for Him. But I tell you, when God calls you, oh my gosh, you will know. Okay? There'll be a download on you. And He'll get you in your sleep. He'll get you in your dreams. He'll get you when you wake up. He'll get you wherever you're at, here in church. You know what's going to be awesome? Pastor, it's going to be awesome one day. People are going to say, what can I do to help in the church? Let's go for it.
Amen.
You know what? You do it with joy. You don't do it, well, I got to do this. You don't have to. You get to.
Yes.
Praise God. And finally, know this. Know the Lord is directing your life. You got to know that you know that you know. But as I shared with you, the Lord will let you know.
Yes.
You will know what you're supposed to do. There won't be any questions. When we came up here, it was wild. It was scary. In California, 25 years, had a business. And everything was going so well. We had a wonderful business of 25 years. And we had a wonderful church, Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa. And I was doing worship and we were working. And everything was cozy until one day I started becoming dissatisfied. And we were becoming dissatisfied. And you know, I'm getting this restlessness. And later I find out that if you go to this church, Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, when my pastor Chuck was alive, it was incredible because what he would say is he said, don't pack your bags here or don't land here or unpack. You better keep your bags packed because God's going to send you out. And I had no idea what he was talking about, but it hit me 2 years later. I'm going, oh, I'm getting that dissatisfaction and what's going on here. And that's how it all happened. And we started checking out. We found out that this place needed a worship leader, came up here to Washington. It didn't work out. And God used that situation as a catalyst. We came up and boom. It was amazing. Came up here 16 years later. The Lord has done what He's going to do. We're building. Let me leave you with a couple of scriptures and then we're done. And by the way, again, I want to reiterate that Jonah did repent. He wasn't happy about it, but those Assyrians repented too. Woo! Can't you wait to see what's going to happen? The most ungodly people are going to get saved around here. Isn't that awesome? You know what? Oh, well, we don't know. Well, you don't know about prostitutes? You don't. And what about all those kids with the tats, you know? And I had nothing against that. They asked me one time, a person came in, he says, will you judge me because I have all these tats? I said, no. I said, I want to see your heart.
Right.
Who cares about what happens? It's all dirt anyway. Right? Let me leave you with this. My heart today is that you would do God's bidding, number one. Number two, that if the Lord If the Lord is calling you to do something, please obey. If you and if you're in a whale of trouble today, remember that God is directing you and leading you and going to keep you safe. Amen. So let me leave you with these last two verses in Matthew 6:33 from the Amplified Bible. And this is important because there's one thing that Jonah did not do. He did not surrender completely to God on the first call. And we need to surrender daily. Matthew 6:33 from the Amplified says, "And strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness." Listen to this. His way of doing and being right. Isn't that good? "And then all these things taken together will be given you besides." You follow the Lord, everything else will be taken care of. And I know this for a fact. I used to have one guitar. I have 11 guitars now. Where are these guitars coming from? My wife says, "Don't get any more. I don't want them in my bathtub. There's no more room in our little condo." I am blessed. I'm blessed with a great wife. I'm blessed with great people in our fellowship. We have abundance because of Jesus. The second verse is Isaiah 1:19. "If you are willing and obedient..." What does it say? Hallelujah. Do you think God wants to bless his church to do stuff? Yeah. Amen. So that is my message for today. I hope you were blessed. And I'm glad to be with this family today. I want to thank the Lord. And Pastor, can I pray over your people, please? Well, you know, if you're going, maybe close your eyes, but... if you're going through a difficult time right now, I would like you to stand up. And then what I'd like is those around you, you folks come and pray for them right now as we lead in prayer. Would you do that? Would you come around these folks that are going through this? And just wherever they are at, come and minister to them. This is body ministry. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for these folks that have been humbled themselves and have come before you. They have needs, Lord. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for your deliverance. Grant them grace beyond measure to get through this difficult time, God, whatever it might be. And Lord, we thank you that you will never leave them. Never, 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 never leave them nor forsake them. Thank you, Jesus Christ. We love you. And Lord, let there be a huge turnaround in the atmosphere of their thinking, that they would know that they can trust in you emphatically. And grant them a gift of faith right now to get through this time. My grace is sufficient for thee. That's what the Lord says. Oh, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, thank you, Jesus Christ. We love you and we bless you now, God. And we thank you that we are in the way, we're in a safe place. We are protected. You're going to instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go. We will not be afraid, God. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. And greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4, Jesus, come forth from that person. Come forth in the name of Jesus and be glorified now. We thank you, God. We give you all the praise. We give you all the thanks. Just begin to thank. You just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus Christ. Praise you, Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord. We bless you now. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God. Oh, thanks for loving us, Lord. Thank you, Father, and let your power and your presence just remain in these people in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Let's give the Lord a nice hand clap.
Isn't God good? Did you enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning? It's been a rich time together in the house of the Lord. I'd like you to extend your hands toward Pastors Larry and Nadine. Father, we thank you for the man and woman of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this precious couple that has learned over and over again to hear your voice and to respond to you. Now we bless them now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, even as you've given them and birthed in them such vision, such heart to plant your kingdom and to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we ask you to strengthen them, body, soul, and spirit. Supernatural surging of power through the body right now in Jesus' name. And strength to do everything you've called them to do.
Yes.
Lord, that there'll be continued unfolding of the next steps and the vision. And we thank you that you've gathered intercessors and precious ones around them. We thank you for Monica, Lord Jesus, and pray your blessing on she and her family. And together right now, we stand with them as a congregation saying, blessed are they who come in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Be their encouragement now, even as they go from this place today in Jesus' name.
Thank
I think there's
Amen.
Probably a message that is resonating among the people here, which is, so many things, but especially throwing out the oars. How many know that God's in control of your vessel? Father, we thank you that as we toss out those oars this morning, we can abandon ourselves to the God who cares and does all things well. We abandon ourselves to the winds of the Holy Spirit, and we commit ourselves to full obedience in you. We thank you for it, Lord. You are great and greatly to be praised. In Jesus' name. And they all said, God is good and all the time. Stand with me, will you? Pray that as you go out today, you go out with strength and encouragement. If you need healing in your body, there'll be a team of people here to pray for you. If you need further input and prayer, there'll be folks here to pray for you. We invite you back next Sunday morning, right here, Wednesday night grace gathering. And Father, we send your people out with the blessing of the Lord this morning. Your eyes are open. Your hands are extended. And we send them out with the blessing, the presence, the joy, and the life of Jesus Christ to be their encouragement and their strength. Thank you, Lord, for this time together in the house of the Lord today. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Be released in the presence of the Lord.